Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Shmir Salashim class learning. We are learning the Nishmas Tzvi Gershom Ben Yoav Echan Alav Hashem. So our Mishnah continues to lead in the merit of our Torah. Also, it's a schuss for continued Rufu and Besar Tovas for Bracha V'Gaya Basracha Gita V'Soch She'er Cholei Yisrael. Let us please begin with the Tzvi Al HaDibor. Ribono Shel Olam, Yiratz B'fanecha, Rachum V'Chanan Shetizakeni Hayim V'Chol Yom L'Shmar Piyu L'Shani Milashin Haru V'Chiyos V'Ezar M'Ledaber Afilo Yishyachid V'Kol Shekein HaKal Yisrael. I'm not going to get into this class because the biggest chos for Geula is to repair Vayave Yosef Esti Basam Ra El Aviham. That began the whole the Galus. Perak Lamed Zayin, I believe it's Pasuk Beis. It's the first thing we know about Yosef and the brothers. The first thing, not before the Ben Zakunin, before the Ksonis Pasim, before the dreams, before Vayikanabo Echa Vayisnu Osov Liachlo Dabra L'Shalom. The first thing we know is, first thing, Vayave Yosef Esti Basam Ra El Aviham. So if Lashon Hara brought us into Galus, Isha spoke to Nachash, it was Lashon Hara, Rashi tells us. That led to their banishment. Yosef, Lashon Hara brought us down to Galus, and Eschinim brought us into this long and bitter exile. So the remedy for turning the process around for Geula is Lashon Tova. But I don't want to get into more in detail in this class because I want to focus on our Avoda to bring the Geula, but of course we are horrified and astonished by the attack on Shabbos, and not only, of course, the pain that we feel at the loss of 11 Jews, but what it means for us as a people in Galus, where we've established ourselves, Rachman Atzlan, and we think that it's our home. Okay, let us go to page 112, please, which is where we are. Okay. Right. Let's just turn back to page 110, since we only meet every other week, twice a month. Let's just remind ourselves where we are up to. Okay, v'keinu b'inyaninu. I'm like five lines from the bottom, page 110. We're not going to go through the same insights again. We spoke about Maseches Reuven last time, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're just going to recap, excuse me, so that we know where we are, having not met for a few weeks. So over time it will become known and famous, so to speak, that this is a person who guards his tongue from slanderous speech, from rechilas, from akri. He speaks only the truth. His speech is pleasant with creations, with people. Good morning. And his name will become one of shame and tiferes in Israel. And the name of God will be sanctified. One will say to his friend, "Ru'u kama na'im masav." Did you see how pleasant this person's deeds are? Kama na'im drachav. How pleasant his ways are. Ashrei aviv shalim d'Torah. Page 112. Fortunate is his father who taught him Torah. Ashrei rabbi shalim d'Torah. Fortunate is his rabbi who taught him Torah. Av anu nolamed espinenu Torah. So when someone sees the kiddush Hashem that is made by someone who holds back his mouth and someone who speaks properly, when you see the tremendous kiddush Hashem that is made, you will say, not only fortunate is his father, unfortunate is his Rebbe, but you'll say, I want my child to be like that too. And it becomes a role model, somebody to emulate in the Kiyub, because everybody wants to be like that person. Now, that's when everything they do is a Kiddush Hashem. Now he says that on the previous page. Yiskadesh Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hefech is also true, and the Hefech of Kiddush Hashem, of course, Chalila V'chas, is a Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem really means Chilul, means to profane, like Chol and Shabbos. So Chilul Hashem is when you make the holiness of God into something that is weekday, mundane, profane. Chas Hashem, of course, has other connotations, which is the desecration. It's translated as the desecration of God's name. Okay? Tremendous and very serious sin. Welcome. Page 112, please. Ula hafach, chas v'sham. The opposite, chas v'sham, is also true. Im habal Torah, eino bal midos. We're not talking about someone who's not a Baal Torah here. He's in a whole different category. What's even more dangerous is someone is a Baal Torah, but he's not a Baal midos. And that is, the Gemara says, We're not in Sefer Shmos yet. We're still in Bereishis, but when we get up to the Mishkan, something that we always read there, when we get up to the Mishkan housed many kelim, of course, but in the holiest room of the Mishkan, in the Kodesh HaKadashim, we shouldn't say room, the holiest space or the holiest enclave inside the Kodesh HaKadashim was the Aron Kodesh, and on top of the Aron were the Kruvim, and there was the Midas Tzimtzum exhibited Kaviyachal by the Ribbono Shel Olam. He contracted, so to speak, the Shechina contracted, so to speak, from infinity and rested in a finite space atop the Aron Kodesh between the two Kruvim. Inside, what was Aron Kodesh made of? So if you look from the outside, it's a gold box. It has a lid on top. It has gold Kruvim. It has gold Badim. The gold box of the Aron Kodesh is actually three levels. The outside is gold. The inside is wood. The middle layer, I should say. Outside is gold. Middle layer is wood. And inner layer is gold. So Lamaisa, when you look at this box, all you see is the outer gold. And yet there are two other layers inside. And the Gemara says, Kol tamid chacham she'en tocho kavaru ein tamid chacham. The outside is gold. The innermost layer also has to be gold. Why? Because Kol tamid chacham she'en tocho kavaru ein tamid chacham. It's not enough to be one way on the inside and the other way on the outside, or one way on the outside and the other way on the inside. We need to be consistent. And midos literally means measurements. Doesn't mean character traits. We translate as character traits. It means the measure of a man. The measure of a man is the midos tovos. There's a story told in the biography of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, by Chanuch Teller. One second, please. A story told by Chanuch Teller. Sorry, thank you. That one time of Shlomo Zalman in his later years, he couldn't walk to shul for slichos. It was in his later years, and he didn't go. And then later that same day, he went to visit somebody else, another elderly gentleman. He had to walk on many stairs, so I don't know who it was, but they said to him, Kavod Rav, you didn't go for slichos, and now you're going and walking up all those stairs from the elevated apartments to some apartments in Yerushalayim to visit this elderly gentleman. So he says, Hashem will understand, but this man might not understand. So we have this Indian of Midos. It's not enough. Baal Torah. Yeah, we should all strive to be Baal Torah, but imagine Chas Hashem, a Baal Torah who is not a Baal Midos. Person's not a Baal Torah, so you could say they don't have the back and they don't have the understanding. Tinuk Shedish, but they might not know to be a Baal Midos, but someone whose life is supposedly shaped by Torah and he's lacking the Bein Adam, the Chaveiro. That's a problem, a big problem. In Baal Torah, ain't no Baal Midos. If his inside is not like his outside, then, by the way, if your inside is not like the outside, you don't make yourself into a makom for Ashar Sashchina. The whole Beis HaMikdash is also a metaphor, not only as a physical space, though Mishkan is not a metaphor, not only as a physical space, but also for us, we have to make ourselves into a vehicle and a vessel where the Shechina can rest. So the Shechina only rests where the inside is like the outside. That's something else. Vasuli Mishkach Vasuli Mikdash Vashachanti Bitochan, very famous. You all know that Pasuk, Shmos 25:8. You should make from Mikdash, I shall dwell within them. But the Ribbono Shel Olam saying there can only be Tzimtzum HaShechina. I will only come to dwell when your Tocho is Kavaro. If your inside's gold and your outside is Shmutz, or your outside's gold and your inside's Shmutz, you don't make yourself in place for, you're not a Merkava L'Shechina. Very hard. About Torah ain't about me. That's Vanil Kablash and Hara, Ubimiriva, and he is captured in it. That's not the word I'm captured that I'm looking for. He is enamored. That's the word I'm really looking for. Enamored by Lashon Hara, Ubimiriva. He is, you know, immersed in Lashon Hara and immersed in Meriva. You know, it's interesting. I spoke in Shalamas last week to the sixth graders. I spoke one day to Shalom, sixth graders, one day in Darche, I spoke to my son's seventh grade class. I spoke to Jonathan's class last week. I didn't know what to expect. I never spoken to a classroom of boys before. That's what I should say. I did not know. They're excellent. They're talking about Midos Tovos. They're about Midos Tovos. They didn't move, they listened, they were attentive, they were inquisitive, they answered questions. One of the boys got up in the middle of class, got me a drink of water. At the end I said, you know, I wish I would have told you to write this down. They all take out a piece of paper, meant you're excellent. It was beautiful. It was such a Kiddush Hashem. And I spoke in Shalom, so I was like, oh, so the girls are excellent. My point was I didn't know what to expect from the boys because I had never spoken to a boys' class before. So I spoke to the sixth grade girls at Shalom and they wanted me to speak on rebuilding the world with Shmir Salashon. That was the top. They asked that of me, building with Shmir Salashon. So after a couple of girls came over to me, they all wanted to ask questions. Our time was up. So we went into a teacher, I don't know, principal's office. They were asking me a couple of questions. So one girl said, let's say you didn't initiate. You just happened to overhear. So what should you do? So You're not a person who is steeped in Lashon Hara. You're not a person who's chas v'shalom running after meriva, u'bishakarim. You're not running after sheker, u'kahai gavna, and those sorts of things. It just comes upon you. So I said to her, this just happened to me. I was recently at a certain place where there was a large gathering of people, not giving any details. Someone came over to me that I know, and we just started to talk. And all of a sudden, out of that person's mouth comes a statement of Lashon Hara about somebody else in the room. What should you do in such a matzav? I literally, it was totally unprompted. I had no idea it was coming. There was a large gathering. This person comes over to me. Hello, how are you? Nice to see you, blah, blah, blah. Give a kiss. And then out of so I said to this girl, this just happened to me. I didn't tell the story. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to learn from that? I don't know. But I gave her a nacham. I said, it's not like you initiated. I tried quickly to change the topic. You should know that one who is involved in Lashon Hara and Meriva, quarrel, and lies and those types of things makes a bizayon to the Kavod Shemaim in this world. The over ayadeza alav, and you're actually over on alav. What lav are you over on? The lav av lo sechalalu Hashem kachi. We have a mitzvah to make a kesh Hashem mikdash b'soch b'nei Yisrael. We also have a mitzvah lo tasei to stay away from chilah Hashem, and that is lo sechalalu Hashem kachi. Do not profane. Do not make chol my holy name. Kedi isa biyuma. I ain't sham b'gemar, so I'm going to bring you the gemar. But one more sentence, because he's going to say again, I ain't sham b'gemar. The avon chil Hashem chamur ad ma'od. The sin of making a chil Hashem is so severe, until very much, ad sh'amu she'ein korach b'teshuva v'yisurin v'yam ha'kipurim l'kaper ela b'misa. So generally, Yom Kippur, the itzumo shel yom, the essence of the day brings kapar. Generally, Yom Kippur, whether a person does something or doesn't do that, there's an idea that the power of the day brings kapar. But if the sin is a chilul Hashem, it is so serious that the Gemara says, "Ein koch b'teshuv," there's no power in repentance, v'yisurin, and suffering in this world does not alleviate, v'yom kippurim, and even Yom Kippurim, there is no kapara, the only kapara is alba misa, chalila rachmana letzom, you should never know from such a thing, ayin sham b'gemara. So let's see what the Gemara has to say inside. Questions or comments? Did I say anything that could even lead to questions or comments yet? I mean, I'm sure I did, but does anyone have questions or comments? Okay. Avar al ase v'shav. I'm going to read you the Gemara and translate it. I'm using art school. Avar al ase v'shav. One transgressed a pause mitzvah an ase, and he repented. Eino zaz misham ad shemo chalino. He does not move from there until he is forgiven. And I'm using the footnotes also. In other words, he is forgiven as soon as he was repent. As soon as he repents. You don't even have time to move from your place, so to speak. You're immediately forgiven. Return, O wayward children, implying, explains Rashi, there are certain sins for which you repent. That's it. You have tshuva immediately. Shuva, shav, you've returned and repented to God. You're immediately forgiven. Avar alo tase va'asa teshuva. If one is over on a lo tase, you shall not do this. Okay, ase is you shall do this, you transgress tase. You do teshuva, immediately forgiven. Shuva banim shovim. On the other hand, you're over ala lo tase, you shall not do this, you're over. Va'asa teshuva, teshuva tola, v'yom kippurim mechaper. The repentance suspends punishment, and Yom Kippur brings kapara. So far, we're not condoning sin, but we're human beings. So the Gemara is telling you, if you're over an ase, you do teshuva, you can't even move from your place, so to speak, before Hashem grants repentance, such as the kolach of midas harachamim. You're over on a lo tase, you do teshuva, so the lo tase pushes off the punishment, and Yom Kippur brings you kapara. Okay. Pasuk in the Torah, because on this day you have kapara for all of your sins. Okay, so from here we learn, Rashi points out, some sins are not forgiven until Yom Kippur. So, ase, you're over, teshuva, forgiven immediately. Lo tase, you do teshuva, the punishment's pushed off. Yom Kippur, when you get to the Yom Kippur, it brings you kapar. Okay. Avar al kresos, let's say someone is over on a sin that's punishable by kares. Umisos beistin, on death by beistin, but also teshuva, you do teshuva. So you're over in a sin for which a punishment is karis, or misa bide beistin, you do teshuva. So how do you get repentance? Teshuva, you have to repent. V'yam kippurin, and the process of going through the Yom Kippur. Tolin, push off, suspend what? It doesn't mean suspend punishment. He is punished, he's protected from premature death. So let's say you're over, you did something that you're over karis, okay? Our father didn't perform bris milah on a son, let's say. He does teshuva. Right? But what is the process now? You need teshuva. Yom Kippur and Tolin, they suspend death. They don't suspend all punishment, but they suspend death, because you're really supposed to have chalila v'chas die prematurely, v'yisurin mimirakin, and suffering purges the sin. These, meaning the affliction is less severe than it would have been had he not repented. Is everyone with me? This is very, very basic, touching upon. I'm not going into the Gemara and death. It's depth. It's beyond the scope of my ability. I was just showing my husband. I don't remember why we were looking at something in Aramaic. So I told him, because of Rashi with Unkus, because of Chumash with Unkus and Rashi, so I'm able to understand more and more Aramaic as time goes on. It's like learning another language. It's amazing. So I had some words I couldn't show. Oh, we were looking at Zmiros, Kariban. It was Friday night. They were singing a very nice nigun in New Rochelle at our host's home to Kariban. So I was showing my husband that I could translate some of it. So words I could translate, he translated. He says from Gemara. I said, okay, but I don't learn Gemara. So for me, my point was, this is way beyond the scope of what I am able to teach you, but we can understand with the help of our scope. Our understanding is that for Asa, you do teshuva. You can't even move from the place before you have repentance. Lo Tase, you do teshuva. So you, the process of teshuva and going through the cleansing of Yom Kippur brings atonement. What if you do a much more severe sin, for example, something that you're deserving of kares, which is early death, or kiluli banim chalila v'chas, no one should ever know from such a thing, or misa beistin. So then you need teshuva, Yom Kippur and Tolin. They suspend death. And punishment will be less severe. Suffering, affliction will be less severe than if you had not done teshuva. Is everyone with me? Three categories. Ase, teshuva. Lo tase, teshuva, yom hakippurim. Something you're punishable for kares or misa b'dei shemaim. Teshuva, yom kippur. And yisurin will be of a lesser degree than they would have been had you not repented. Good? Aval, is that clear on our level of learning? Aval, mi sheyesh chilul Hashem biyado, someone who has desecration, profanity of God's name in his hand, so to speak, and the footnote says, he sins, says Rashi, and also causes other to sin. And by the way, this reference, Tosfos teaches, this reference is the one who does a chilul Hashem knowingly, b'mezid. Okay, so it's not b'shogin, it's b'mezid, he did a chilul Hashem, and he teaches others to do a chilul Hashem. So someone who's like lahachas. Aval mi sheyesh chilul Hashem biyado, ein lo koach b'teshuva litlot, repentance does not suspend punishment, v'lo b'yom ha-kippurim mechaper, and yom ha-kippurim is not a mechaper, v'lo b'yisurin l'marek, and suffering does not purge. So the other categories, you are over an ase, teshuva brought immediate forgiveness. You are over a lo tase, teshuva and yom hakippurim. You are over even something for your chayiv karis and misa based in. You have teshuva, you have yom hakippurim, and you have yisurin to a lesser degree. You're not chayiv karis and misa anymore. But when it comes to chilul Hashem, b'mezid, where you influence other people, none of the categories will help you. Eino koch b'teshuva litlos, teshuva does not suspend punishment. V'lo b'yom hakippurim mechaper, yom hakippurim does not bring kapar. V'lo b'yisurin l'marek, suffering does not purge. Ela kulan tolin, all of them together suspend umisa mimarekas. However, death purges. The ultimate cleansing for the sin of chilul Hashem b'mezid is misa. Something to keep in mind. Something very important to keep in mind in all of our actions. Again, it's b'mezid. The Chafetz Chaim, talking about the Chafetz Chaim, his son-in-law, it's brought down in his biography, the Chafetz Chaim by Rabbi M.M. Yashar, that's where this is from. So his son-in-law was once going out with a stain on his jacket. So the Chafetz Chaim said that the Gemara says the one who goes out with a stain on his jacket, Tzichel Hashem, Yechayv Misa. So the Chafetz Chaim told that to his son-in-law. So in other words, you shouldn't be going out with a stain on your jacket. So the son-in-law replied, I'm not such a Talmud Chacham. In other words, his father was saying, the Chafetz Chaim said, the Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham, it goes out with a stain in his jacket, I misa. So the son-in-law said, I'm not such a Talmud Chacham. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, quote, for chilul Hashem, you're enough of a Talmud Chacham. We're all enough of a Talmud Chacham for this union of Kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem. We just learned that. The copper el bamisa. You were saying, you want to say something? V'gam sosim pi hayireim shelo yochlu lamar tochacha binyan zeh. Look at this. You also close the mouth through your actions of chilul Hashem. You also, but by the way, do you see, why is the Chafetz Chaim bring us this? Let's just understand what we're saying here. You might think, oh, chilul Hashem b'meizi doesn't apply to me. What's the Chafetz Chaim? What context is he bringing this to us? Sins of speech. Do you think of sins of speech in such a category? That I'm not in that category. Maybe I'm over Aseh, I'll repent. Maybe I'm over Lo Taseh, I'll repent. And next year I'll have Yom Kippur. Chas v'sholom, I'm not over anything that's Chayiv Karis and Misa be based in. Chas v'sholom. And for sure, that's what we think. I'm not in that category. It's amazing. Does it apply to me? I'm a frum Jew. But wait, in what context is the Chavetz Chaim saying, look at that Gemara? What is this whole Sefer? Chovas HaShmira. That's what he says. You could be even a Baal Torah. That's how he began this paragraph. But you're nilkad b'lashon hara b'meriva uvishakari mukahai gavra mispazek kvodosh al kosh baruch hu olamah. Someone who is stuck in this pattern of lashon hara and machlokas and lies and other such speech makes a b'zayin to kavod shemaim. And then he says, and it's a chilul Hashem. And he puts us, the Chavetz Chaim is putting us in this category. What does he say here? You also close up, stop up the mouths of the God fearing. They feel that they can't even give you tochacha in this matter anymore. You cut yourself off from other people. People don't even feel they can give you tochacha. Aval im hu shomer atzmo, if you guard yourself, you also have the power to bring other people tochacha, to let other people know about this inyan of making a kiddush Hashem with your speech. They won't be able to say, oh, like you've said before, oh, you're so religious. First, kshar atzmecha means bedeck yourself first, and kshar atzmecha, jewel yourself first. How's it translated? Strain out yourself before you rebuke others. They won't be able to say to you, don't give me tochacha. You think you're so holy? You also speak lashon hara. If you're really a person who has striven to remove lashon hara from yourself, you'll be able to rebuke others. They won't be able to answer back because they can't say to you, oh, you're not so perfect. Don't rebuke me. They can't answer that. So I want to quote from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. The sefer is called Days of Odd, Days of Joy. Okay. What then does a by Dr. Abram J. Tversky? What then does a complete implementation of Yiddishkeit entail? Listen to the words of Rav Chaim Vital, the foremost disciple of the Arizal. Echad tzaddikim levracha. Bad character traits, midos. Why am I bringing this to? Because what is he talking about? The Chavetz Chaim in this paragraph being a baal midos, not only a baal Torah. Bad character traits, midos, are much worse than sin. And we can understand why the Gemara says a person who goes into a rage is as if he worshipped idols, called kois, akil oved avodazara, and a vain, arrogant person is one who denies God. Because if you're saying, I'm the best thing since Adam, then where does that leave Hashem in the world? A person should therefore be more meticulous about eliminating bad character traits than fulfilling the positive mitzvos and the prohibitions. Let's repeat this. Rav Chaim Vital teaches, bad midos are much worse than sin. That's what the Chavetz Chaim says. You could be a Baal Torah. That means, according to the letter of the law, you're keeping all the mitzvos. You kept Shabbos on time, you've been brought in 5 minutes early, and you're lecha mishnah for all 3 meals, and you're makbid tawash. You keep all the mitzvos. You're even machmir, maybe, but you're not a Baal midos. So where does that leave you? Well, according to the Chavetz Chaim, it leaves you in the category of those who the Gemara says, the chilul Hashem is not mechaper, only with death totally. Bad character traits are much worse than sin. We can understand why the Gemara says, a person who goes into a rage is as if he had worshipped idols. A vain, arrogant person is equivalent to one who denies God. A person should therefore be more meticulous about eliminating bad characters. It's very frightening. About eliminating bad midos than fulfilling the positive mitzvos and the prohibitions. If one will have good midos, why? One will easily be able to fulfill all the mitzvos. What comes first? Midos tovos. It humbles us. It calms us. Whatever your midos tovos will be able to fulfill. Just like the alcoholic. Now he finished quoting Rav Chaim Vital. That's from Shari Kedusha. Now I'm quoting Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. Just like the alcoholic must improve his character to become sober, a person wishing to become an Eved Hashem must first improve his midos. Let us remember, just as an alcoholic cannot alter his character while drinking, a person cannot improve one's midos while you are in violation of halacha. Transgressions of Torah are toxins. Transgressions of Torah are toxins which prevent one from accessing and altering their midos. The Baalei Musar explained, committing a sin is grave indeed, but it doesn't become a part of your personality, and one can do teshuva. So this helps us understand the Gemara also that the Chafetz Chaim pointed us to. You did a sin. You were over on an ase. You didn't do an ase. You were over on a low ase. You did something you weren't supposed to do. Sin, the Baalei Musar explained, I've seen this brought down elsewhere. Aaron Lichtenstein also speaks about this, by the way. Sin does not indicate the essence of the person, whereas corrupt midos says something about the inner essence of a person. So now we understand why if you did not do an ase and you do teshuva, so you have kapara immediately before you even move from the place. But if you do a chilul Hashem, it's indicative of a flawed inner personality. The inner core is flawed. And if the inner core is flawed, teshuva alone cannot help you, and neither can Yom Kippur help you. A bad character trait becomes part of your personality. It is much more difficult to uproot. But this is not the way we think. Rabbi Tversky is bemoaning the fact that we think improperly. If a frum person loses his temper, listen to this, we are likely to still consider him a frum person. But if you find out he ate a ham sandwich, we would not consider him from. Rav Chaim Vital says, the person who goes into a rage is no different than the person who eats treif. I'm quoting from Dr. Amon Judith Tversky. This is not how we tend to think. It's not how we tend to think. If you would hear somebody eats treif, or someone eats pig, then you would think he's not from. Someone who becomes angry, you think, oh, he is from. He just became angry. Well, apparently, according to Rav Chaim Vital, and the way we're understanding this Gemara, that the Chavetz Chaim points us to, not only is there no difference, but in a sense, it's worse. That's exactly right. Because you could be mechaper for your ham sandwich, and it's much more difficult to change your inner self and change that chilul Hashem. One second, please. Our mental Yirah Shamai means to be in awe of Hashem's majesty, so we would not act inappropriately in his presence. This is the very first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. To behave with awareness that we are always in the presence of Hashem. Our mental Yirah Shamai is essential to Yiddishkeit, because even without Yirah Shamai, even the most meticulous glatt kosher observance is not Yiddishkeit. That's what Rabbi Tversky says. Without elemental Yirah Shamai, the most meticulous glatt kosher observance is not Yiddishkeit. But we are so far from that. And then he quotes the famous story in Maseches Brachos Chav Chas Amar Beis, where the Talmidim came to visit Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai in his deathbed, and they said, why are you crying? Are you afraid? He said, they're leading me in two ways and I don't know which way I'm going, and up there I can't convince God with words and I can't bribe him with money. I shouldn't be afraid. So they say to him, give us a bracha. So what does he say to them? Rabbeinu Barchinu. So he says, Yesh Mora Shamayim Aleichem Kamora Basar V'dam. The fear of heaven shall be upon you like the fear of God. So they say, Rabbi, Ad Kan, that's it. That's your whole bracha. So he said, Ulavai. If only. Because he says, you should know, when a person commits a sin, he says, Shalo yer ani adam. And second, I am told, then Rabbi, I'm skipping some of this, okay? It's a longer piece, I'm skipping. Rabbi Dr. Tversky writes, I am told, you can't expect the level of Yer Shemayim from people. It's unrealistic to expect everyone to be like the Chavetz Chaim. That's what he says. And then he says, in answer to that, do you have to be the Chavetz Chaim to avoid eating pork? Without awareness that one is in the presence of Hashem, if one is not ashamed to do things one would not do if others were watching, one has not begun the first paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch, and he has not even begun Yiddishkeit. But we go over to some, and I'm sure I've been in the situation, flip side, I'm sure I've gone over to people and just said totally inappropriate things, just like happened to me. But that means that I am not, and that person is not aware that really we forget that we're really standing always before the Baruch Hashem. I mean, if you really believe that Hashem was right there, would you just go over to such a person, me? Maybe, I'm sure I've done it at times, and just blurt that out of your mouth. Does one have to be the Chafetz Chaim to avoid eating pork? Just like the Chafetz Chaim said to his son-in-law. The son-in-law said, I'm not such a Talmid Chacham. The Chafetz Chaim said, V'chil Hashem, you're a Talmid Chacham. Without awareness that you're in the presence of Hashem, and if one is not ashamed to do things he would not do if others were watching, he has not begun the first paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch, he has not even begun Yiddishkeit. Our children are very sensitive, can detect whether our Yiddishkeit is genuine or superficial. Genuine Yiddishkeit begins with to fear Hashem and go in all his ways. Yirah Shamayim is a guide to proper midos. Controlling anger, it's one of the Deburim Asra that we daven for in the beginning on our tefillah. Ridding ourselves of grudges, dishonesty, speaks about Sheker. Envy, Lashon Hara, inconsiderateness. Developing the midos of Chesed, truth, Ahavas, so respect and consideration of others. Genuine Yiddishkeit will keep our children close. Yeah.
So before you said, your character traits. So, but people are always, us, we're Yidden, we always are working on our character traits. No one's perfect. No one is so straight all the time. People get angry. People say raw things. So I was having a conversation with someone that started saying like negative, this person's pretty negative. And I said, why are you looking for the bad? Why can't you look at the good? I said, you know, try to work on your midos tovos. That's just what I said. And she was making fun of me. Oh, midos, shnovos, tovos. I said, no, but why do you have to be like that?
So
like,
human nature.
Okay, but you were saying that it's worse than eating pork.
Human nature.
But if we're working on something and then somebody else goes and then like, you know, we're always, it's like you're working on your tefillah. Like I, the other day, said something to somebody, her husband was sick and whatever. And I said, did you change since your husband was sick? And he said, no. She said, no. I said, you didn't take upon yourself davening something, brachos.
Because it's human nature to see the negative. We have to overcome.
Okay, but you're saying it's like, just as, it's worse. Like it's like, but we're human. So if we're, let's say, make a mistake.
So we have to try.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get the al-khayr as quickly as eating the pork sandwich, you just said.
That's right. It's easier to repent from eating a ham sandwich. It's easier to repent from eating a ham sandwich than to change a meal. That's exactly correct.
And I said, well, you know, if you work on your meat, those tofu.
That's exactly correct.
Like I do or any, I'm making fun. So I'm going to go back to my original comment. You really can't have a conversation with someone that is not in the same, I mean, I'm getting
one second.
Older now.
One second. The gam so same piha yurim shalo yuchu lomar tochacha be'inyan zeh. There are sometimes when you cannot give a person tochacha. That's what he just said. Sometimes you close the mouth of the God-fearing, they will not even be able to give tochacha. You're right. Sometimes there are certain people that at a certain stage you should not have a conversation with. That's right. That's exactly what you just read. That's exactly
then,
right.
Then you can you say, oh, you're snobby. She thinks she's better than them.
Let's go. Gam al yedei. I want to do another paragraph. Come, ladies. Gam al yedei. Please, let's go. Page 112. Gam al yedei. You're right. That's exactly what you just said. Sometimes you can't say anything because of a certain person's certain way. He mamish says that. Gam so say pi hayareim shelo yuchlu lamar tochacha beinyan zeh. Let's go. Gam ayidei sheyei shomer piv kadin memela bevadayu diburav mitzum tzaim. If one is shomer his piv like he is supposed to, then certainly his words will be concise, short, to the point. Kadei shelo yilachid b'lashona. So he will not trip. So he will not stumble. So in other words, short and sweet. Say what you have to say. Now close your mouth. And also he will stay away from chavras anashim. What does that stand for? Like I told you in the fifth statement, you will stay away from a wicked grouping, like was brought to our attention in Chelak. But about staying away from chavras anashim, I'm in the middle of reading this book on the Babetz Rebbe. It's amazing. I don't know if anybody read it. It's really like amazing. Someone came to him, they arranged a whole Shira series for Taras HaMashpacha in a certain community, and one person came. So, Taras HaMashpacha, it's one of the bedrocks of our society foundation. So he went to the Babetz Rebbe, he said, I arranged this Shira series on Taras HaMashpacha. One person came. So Babetz Rebbe said, quote, how many mothers did Moshe Rabbeinu have? Meaning, you're touching one person who needs to hear. That child who was born from Taras HaMashpacha could end up being the next God of Hadar. Okay. The Satmar Rebbe had much to criticize about Chabad and Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, including the Rebbe's sympathetic view of the state of Israel. Much of this opposition surfaced after the Six-Day War, because the Rebbe argued God had performed miracles on Israel's behalf. The Satmar Rebbe believed that if any miracles had been performed, they emanated from Satan, who was trying to seduce the people away from service to God. I don't want your opinion on Medina Israel at all. Just listen. And the war, I'm not joking. In the war's aftermath, the Rebbe stationed Lubavitchers at the Kotel to encourage visitors to put on tefillin. In contrast, the Satmar Rebbe imposed encouraging non-observant Jews to put on tefillin, feeling that they were not spiritually worthy of doing so. He advised his Hasidim not to visit the Western Wall, lest it cause them to feel gratitude towards Medina Israel and Chayalei Tzahal for capturing it during the Six-Day War. Okay. There's one opinion, there's another opinion. That's fact. In 1964, 3 years before the war, the writer Harvey Suedos met with the Rebbe to discuss a large variety of issues. One topic he inquired about was the Rebbe's opinion of the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, and in particular, of his fierce and well-known opposition to the State of Israel. The Rebbe refused to be drawn into needless controversy on Lashon Hara. Why should I comment about the relationship between a man in Williamsburg, who I do not know, and the state of Israel, which I have never visited? And he wouldn't say anything. Even when the Rebbe felt compelled to comment in a critical matter about another person, he restricted criticism to the precise area of disagreement without attacking the other person. And he gives a specific example here, where he directed criticism to aspects of a person's teaching. They once asked him about Rav Kook. And he said he tried to mix too much, he was quiet, but then the person understood that it was shtika kohoda. There was a criticism of Rav Kook, and the Rebbe was quiet, not to say anything negative. The person understood shtika kohoda, so they asked him, do you agree that there was a negative about Rav Kook? And he replied, he mixed too much together, philosophy, law, mysticism, too many paradoxes in his teaching. A leader should not confuse the mind too much. The criticism was directed to aspects of the teachings, but not to the person himself. But here you have somebody who is two camps who were totally opposed to each other. And the Babich Rebbe said, quote, why should I comment about the relationship between a man in Williamsburg who I do not know well and the state of Israel, which I have never visited? So once again, if you close your mouth, if you protect Shomer Piv Kadin, Mimela Bavadai Yudi Burav Mitsum Tsaim, your words will be short, concise, Kadel Shalo Yachab Yilache Blishono, Vagam Yisrachik Mechav Rasanashim. You will not be drawn into the group of people who want to speak negatively. Mimela Yutov Sulo Ezo Sha'as, look at this, Umimela. As a result of not speaking too much and not going into Chavras Anashim and not being drawn into negative speech, look inside with me, page 112, third line of the last paragraph. Umemela. Yitov sulo eze sha'os b'chol shavua. You will get many more hours in your week. Sheyu pinuyos limud Torah. That you will have time for more limud Torah. So what did he just say here? If you stop speaking unnecessarily, you will find that you have more hours. So I thought that this was very interesting because someone was just telling me about a person that they're close to, that the person is saying that they never have time for things X, Y, and Z. So the other person said to the person, if you put down your phone, you'll have so much more time during the day and so much more time during the week. Like, just put down the phone, you'll have so much more time. That's what this reminded me of very much. Because today, what do we primarily use the forum for? Communication. We're always talking to other people. On this forum, on that forum, email, WhatsApp, never mind, I'm not on social networking, but never mind the time that people spend on social media and the hours we spend on Facebook and Twitter and I don't know what else there is out there. I know that there's a app that kids use called Snapchat. I'm probably adults use it. Also, Mimele Yitov Sulo Eza Shos Bechol Shavuli Shia Pnuas Lumatara. Look how much time you're going to all of a sudden find that you miraculously have all this extra time. B'meshach Shana Yuchal Lihitov Seiflo Kamo Meo Shos. Over the course of a year, you will find that you have hundreds of extra hours. So imagine if we put down this, where we stop constantly talking to other people, even if it's innocent speech, it's just idle chatter. What are we even doing? Ubederech remez nucha lomer alish kazem asha kasuv yiras Hashem tosif yamim. Over this, you are able to say, the one who is a yir shemayim adds days. Now, you understand how he adds days. He understands the value of every moment. Adds days of Ashrei Chelko, fortunate is his law. Interestingly, by Dr. Abram J. Twersky's whole premise of building your midos tovus is based on first acquiring yir shemayim. And that's what the Chavetz Chaim just says. He quotes from Mishnah, Shalom HaMelech, Yiras Hashem, Tosif Yamim. If you have an awareness of Yiras Hashem, it leads to an improvement in Midos Tovus. It leads you to be more Shomer Piv. It leads you to talk less and chat less. You know, there's a way on your iPhone to see how much screen time you use. I don't know if you're aware of that, but you can check out your screen time usage. And it's scary to think of when you get up to Shemayim, you know, so now we could have a choice if you want to look at it, if you don't want to look at it. It might make us uncomfortable. I don't really want to see how much screen time there was. Get up to Shemayim, so they're going to play back for you. I think it's going to be very embarrassing. I think it's going to be very embarrassing. It's going to be also very scary. I think. Maybe you don't think so. I think it's very scary. And you'll understand how much more, never mind hours in your week, but hundreds of hours in your year. But Ashrei Chelko, you know, I don't know if anyone saw Mishpacha last week. There was an interview in Mishpacha last week with the family who, Rachmana Litzlan, I think it was was last name Fruchter? I don't remember. The family in Israel who recently lost two of their youngest children in the fire. There was a very bad fire about 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and their 10-year-old, 8-year-old, and 6-year-old got out. The 4-year-old girl and the 2-year-old son were killed in the fire. Mishpacha went to interview them. They were still in the middle of Shabbat and interviewed them. And one of the last things the mother says, she says that the older girls managed to wake up the 6-year-old who was sleeping in the room with the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old. And the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old didn't get out. The 6-year-old got out. She says, you know, we always take time so for granted, the mother said. She says, we say, just give me a minute. Just give me 2 minutes. I'll be there shortly. She said, you know the value of 10 seconds? She says, my daughter got out in a matter of seconds. The firefighters told her it was seconds. The flames engulfed the whole room. She says, a matter of seconds. It was 10 seconds that saved my daughter. She said, do we even know the value of 1 second? She says, we're so casual with our time. Give me a minute. Give me 2 minutes, we're always saying. She says, minutes? Second. So I think this last paragraph that we just read, besides the fact that it applies to Shemar Selashim verbal speech, it also has tremendous Mr. Haska to all of us in an Indian of phone usage, which is basically constantly communicating with other people. Okay. I don't think we did this one. Another form of... We did, breaking up a harmful friendship. We did that. We did that last time. Potentially harmful relationships. The next set of rules concerns information which, if provided, could prevent a potential relationship. For example, you could prevent a business partnership, a shidduch, hiring a worker, from materializing. In these cases, halacha differentiates between 3 situations, okay? So these are rules that concern information which, if you provide information, you could break up a relationship, whether it's a shidduch or a business partnership, hiring a worker, etc. Okay. There are 3 differentiations where 1 suggests the relationship. Okay, so you're the person who suggested the relationship. You're the person who is called on to answer questions from another party concerning the other. So one side, you're just called. You didn't have anything to do. This is very common. Now when you make a shidduch, when people call you as a reference, one side calls you. You're on the resume. This happens to me. You're on the resume. Can you tell me about that person? Where 1 is in the position to volunteer information to one of the parties. So there's 3 distinctions. You suggested the shidduch, whether it's a shidduch in business or 2 people or a rabbi who's going to learn with a child or an actual shidduch as a marriage. You did not suggest the shidduch and you're not proactive, but somebody called you. So in other words, now you have to answer the questions. And the 3rd case is nobody called you and you didn't suggest anything, but you're in the situation where you know something so you can volunteer information. 3 distinctions. These 3 situations involve different Torah commandments and are to be dealt with using varying criteria. When suggesting someone else consider entering a relationship, one must be mindful of the commandment, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. And who remembers what Rashi says? Rashi says, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, do not put a stumbling block before a blind person refers to giving advice which is not appropriate. In the first situation, we shouldn't suggest a matzav or a shidduch between any 2 parties. If you know Eino Hogeneslo, why are you suggesting in the first place? You're setting everybody up for failure and pain, certainly potential lashonar. So you have to make sure the advice is appropriate. It is absolutely forbidden to suggest someone as a possible employee, marriage partner, or business partner if one is aware that. 1 second, please. I'm not very long. You have to turn to the back. If one is aware that. Objectively speaking, it may not be good for the people involved, or it does not satisfy the subjective needs and tastes of both parties. So I think that this one is more obvious. We don't try and suggest a shidduch where we, from the outset, do not think it is appropriate. If we suggest it, we think that it might not be appropriate, but it doesn't mean you went into it knowing it was a bad idea in the first place. You're not doing it because it's Eitzosh and Hogenesol. Oh, whatever. Not only is it cruel to subject people to situations that are bad for them, it's wrong to involve the unsuspecting in relationships they would not have wanted had they known the facts, okay? It continues. It's a long... should I do one more page? We've seen it is forbidden to attempt to involve someone in a situation the person would not want. We just did that on the previous day. If an acquaintance is seeing a person with years of experience with whom to start a business, okay, so an acquaintance is seeing someone who has years of experience, one may not recommend someone who appears to be experienced but is not. unless the acquaintance have told of this. So if you want someone who has 25 years of experience, you know someone who only has 5 years of experience, you can't recommend them unless you say, I know you're looking for someone with 25 years, who only has five. This holds true even if the person has natural talent, which might compensate for the lack of experience, but he specifically wants someone with more experience. Often people feel they know what their friend is really looking for, far better than the friend himself does. Which is also very interesting in the realm of shidduchim. Just get over it. You don't know what you want in the first place. You don't have any experience. I've been married for 25 years, not me personally, but I know what you need better than you know what you need. So then we go out our way to suggest something. And if they don't, pasha, that's not what they want. We feel justified in deceiving this friend because the aim is seeking the shidduch. It is presumptuous and arrogant. This is very relevant. For one to think he has the right to make others' life's decisions for them. You can't lie. Sheker, it's one of the forbidden categories, because you think you know better. It is presumptuous and arrogant. Should be understood, the human personality is complex. You may think you have the perfect match for your friend. But if your friend has an attitude, even though you think it is irrational, that he or she will only marry someone with this specification, hiding the truth could have lifelong repercussions. This is really relevant in the realm of shidduchim, because so often those with experience think they know better than the person who's still looking. Even if it's irrational, or even if you think it's irrational, that's their criteria. If that's their criteria, it is usher to hide it. That's unbelievable. It's presumptuous and arrogant to think this is unbelievable. For you can make life decisions for somebody else. One second, please. Upon discovering the truth after the wedding, the person might spend the rest of his married life thinking he settled for second best. Whether it's rational or irrational is not the point. You set two people up with Eitzah She'enu Hugenu, so you're over on the lava of Lufne'iva Losite Miksha. And if he was told the truth right before the wedding, because now he won't care, he might harbor feelings of disappointment. Such practices, even though well-intentioned, constitute giving bad advice, and it's in violation of Lufne'iva Losite Miksha. We will, but Ezra Hashem, continue next time.
It's scary about that, though, because
it is.
I'm a therapist. I work a lot with premarital dating, and it's so sad how people of authority who really know information don't pass on the information, because in their mind, marriage will cure them.
And it's so not true.
And then after they get married, they find something out.
See, this is real life. What we just learned.
Isn't
that unbelievable? So we, everyone here at least, and everyone who's listening online at least, should take a very strong Musar Haska application for others. We don't know better than the other person based on the Chavetz Chaim. You think you know better. Wow, that's very powerful.
The problem is that, unfortunately, if you ask Shaila sometimes, I think sometimes people don't.
Okay, so first of all, I'm not possible.
Yeah, I know.
We learn from Chavetz Chaim a lesson a day. It's compiled by Rav Shimon Finkelman or Rav Yitzchak Bergwitz. If you have a Shaila, you must ask your Rav for guidance. But you also have to keep in mind, not to go against the Torah, but to also keep in mind the Seichel when you ask a Shaila in the first place, okay?
Well, it's how you ask, but...
Okay, the Torah is for everyone.